Okay, so I'm going to start rolling now, actually. Okay, we're going to be here for about an hour or so. My name is Anthra Kuhn, and I have been a furry for a long time. I've done conventions going back to 1997 with the very first AnthraCon, Albany AnthraCon at the time. So I've done all of those, and I've done a bunch of Furpocalypse, Anthra New England, and Pine FurCon. And so, like I mentioned, there was also that Saturday morning Contunes, which was more of a cartoon convention, not strictly furry, but we had some furries there, we had some bronies and everything.
If I ever go, I'll probably cosplay as the Big Bad Wolf or maybe Wile E. Coyote or Scooby-Doo.
Yeah, that would be great. Now, the first year, they only had like about 65 people, but I think they're going to hope to attract a lot more people when it moves. Of course, Furpocalypse is moving also. It's going to be in Stamford. It's going to be closer to New York City, but still doable. And we had some really nice panels at all these different conventions. So yesterday we were here, we were talking about Zootopia and everything, and of course the whole Disney tradition helped to inspire quite a bit of that movie. What I'm going to talk about mostly is 50s through 90s, but there may be some exceptions, okay? I mean, animation obviously goes back earlier then and it continues today, and there's a bunch of studios, and we're going to, in passing, just briefly mention some of those, but of course, one of the real big ones, and it was an offshoot of someone, two people that used to work for MGM, was Hanna-Barbera. And Bill Hanna, Joe Barbera, I'm just going to check my recording. There we go. They did Tom and Jerry for MGM and everything. They shut down the animation unit. They decided to start their own. And at first they were doing, I think, Rough and Ready was the first one. Then Huckleberry Hound, and one of the cartoons on that was Yogi Bear. And over the decades, they had so many. And a lot of the times they would go into spoofs of TV shows, things that were popular. For example, CB Radio was popular. If anyone remembers the CB Bears, you know, they had things like, yep, yeah, you remember that? There was a Pac-Man cartoon. There were things about rock music. Now, Squiddly Diddly, the name came from Bo Diddley, you know, a whole rock and roll type thing.
One reason why Hanna-Barbera was so successful is how they streamlined the production processes with limited animation.
Exactly. Yeah, if you've got a city scene with Top Cat or McGillagorilla or whatever like that, background, just the same buildings over and over and over, and then they would take the face and put a bow tie or something, and they would only animate that and keep the body, you know, down there. So it was a lot cheaper to do. This is before they were like outsourcing to Korea or whatever, like what the Simpsons did and everything.
Oh, and not just Korea, but they also often have done it in Taiwan and the Philippines and even Japan.
Right, yeah. So they, but the thing is, they over the years, like I say, the current fads or whatever, they gave us so many lovable characters, and yes, quite a few of them were furry. Now, there are some cartoons that are all animals, or they may have a dog that doesn't speak, or speaks just a little, like Ruby Roo or whatever. But
or Astro.
Yeah, exactly, yeah. Tony Bennett created Astro for the Jetsons and things like that.
I thought it was Iwao Takamoto.
Tony Bennett, I've heard him say that he created it, but he wrote the episode and everything like that.
I believe Iwao came up with his visual design, he did for Scooby-Doo and many other...
I think that was the case there. Now, the thing is, some of these characters, the voices that people like Dawes Butler did were often based on famous people. Now, Snagglepuss, Bert Lahr, the Cowardly Lion, you know, like... whatever. You know, there were certain voices that were inspired by actual people. And in a way, Huckleberry Hound almost sounded like Andy Griffith, but it was really Dawes Butler's neighbor from down south.
Yeah, he used that voice for a wolf character at MGM in the 50s.
Yep, and later on, I'm trying to remember if Johnny Bravo was Hanna-Barbera.
It was produced at Cartoon Network Studios, which used to be a division of Hanna-Barbera.
Right, yeah. So that was basically Elvis. So the voices on there were things like Elvis and everything. But this particular book, this is by Jerry Beck. It's called The Hanna-Barbera Treasury. It's probably out of print by now. But it had all these little things like, you know, playing cards and, you know, cereals you could buy. But they had so many great things. And this is one of the things that inspired my own memories. Now, another book about the whole furry fandom is called Furry Nation by Joe Strike. And he was interviewing some furries about their interests. So there's a couple pages where he talked to me. And I mentioned that I grew up with these same sort of cartoons, and that's what got me into it. And mid-90s or whatever, started getting into computers. So I saw all the stuff that was online and people doing their own creations and everything. So We'll mention some other books or different things of interest, but let's take a little break and play something. Here comes Dapper. I invited Dapper to help me out here.
Hey,
I think that's Dapper, yeah.
Yeah, that's Dapper.
That's Dapper. Dapper is about half my age, a little more than half my age. I'm 58, okay? So he's a little younger than me. But we all grew up with... Yeah, can you get around that way? Okay, without... And then I got a couple cords here, so you're going to be careful. We all grew up with a lot of this stuff. Now, one of the interesting things was, you know, when I was a kid, if you wanted cartoons, you had to tune in at a certain day and time to catch them. You didn't have YouTube. You didn't have Boomerang. You had no DVDs or anything like that, you know. Eventually, they started putting things out on VHS and everything. But my first clip is from 1970. This was a special with Bing Crosby, Goldilocks, part animation, part live action. And it's a great song called The Human Race. The animation was done by DePatie Freleng. That's the studio that did the Pink Panther.
They also and took over to Looney Tunes for a while. Like
For a while.
In the late 70s. They weren't so good, though.
That's right. Well, David DePatie explained that Warner Brothers shut down its cartoon unit. So they just took the people, said, okay, now we're going to be called DePatie Freleng. They started doing the cartoons. And then Warner said, well, I think we're going to start doing cartoons again.
Yeah,
hey, can you guys make some cartoons for us?
Yeah.
That's why some of like Roadrunners and things like that were technically done by DePatie Freleng. Mm-hmm. So this was 1970, and as I was mentioning a few minutes ago, Bing Crosby's estate owns the rights, and the only way they're going to get it on TV is if someone pays big money to air it. Well, this is a clip that they put on YouTube, and again, this, you'll have to like listen close for the sound. It's called The Human Race. And well, I have the sound going earlier. Wait a minute.
Check the computer volume control.
I did earlier.
Press the Windows button. It'll bring up the...
You do what we did yesterday.
Windows button.
Yeah, that'll bring up the...
Oh.
I was just saying, like, if you push the Windows button, you don't have to exit full screen.
Oh, good. Oh, okay. It's you have to listen. It's going to be quiet.
I can do the audio on here if you want.
Bing Crosby, The Human Race. Thank you.
Looks live action.
It's a mixture. It's a mixture, sure. Come on in, everybody. So, it's on YouTube.
Combining is an age-old technique, going way back to like
the 1910s. Porky Pig, you ought to be in pictures.
Yeah, I think the... Well,
him and Daffy are in it.
Gertie the Dinosaur.
Yep.
They did live action and animation.
Are you ready? It says The Human Race, Bing Crosby.
That's the first one, right?
That's the one. Yeah, start at the beginning. Okay, and I'm glad he's doing this because the sound is...
All right, you ready?
Okay, go ahead. Speaker, point toward them or something?
Yeah, I think that is. That's as loud as I can.
Okay, thanks.
You know, the popular part of the story, you remember it, too. It's wild and too early. You left cold and went for a walk in the woods.
Papa, what's the matter with Mabel?
Well, let's see. Can I answer that?
Is it one of those things I'm not old enough to know?
No, it's not one of those. It's just a... From the day they're born, it begins a frantic race.
when they run away from worries, but they don't lie on their backs. They fret and sweat, they get upset, struggling to just relax.
Oh, it's the human race, the human race.
Dan?
Delighted.
La 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 la.
There it is. Now, I love the backgrounds in that and things like that. And then I have a story about a certain backgrounds artist for Warner Brothers. His name was Paul Julian. And if he had to get somewhere, you know, oh, yeah, you can turn it off now. He'd go past people and he'd go beep, 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 beep.
Yeah.
So they decided to create, you know, the Roadrunner there, the Roadrunner and Wile E. Coyote. So, and he is the voice of the Roadrunner. Beep, beep. That's where that came from. That's a true story. Another kind of interesting story, this has been mentioned before a little bit. Fred Silverman, who recently passed away, was working with Hanna-Barbera and doing a show with these teenagers solving mysteries and everything. Well, what were they going to name the dog, right? Joe Barbera loved dogs. There were so many dogs in his show and like that. So Fred Silverman is on a flight, and they have the audio in. He's got the headphones on. And what was one of the big hits in the late 60s? Frank Sinatra, Strangers in the Night. Doobie-doobie-doo. That's where he got it from. He says, why don't we call the dog Scooby-Doo?
I know that's where that was. Singers used that before, Frank Sinatra. It was common around Scatters, but...
Yeah, the Archies even had a song, something about like Scooby or something.
Yeah, but it was obviously specifically that song Fred Silverman heard.
Exactly, so that's where they got that from. Now, getting back to... I've got some other little clips to get at as well. But, so over the years... like I say, we grew up with all these cartoons, and they helped to inspire maybe our own creations. Now, I see someone in the audience who's dressed up as the Big Bad Wolf, right?
Hey, yeah.
Going back to Disney. That's an earlier one with, was that the 30s, right?
Yeah, 1933.
Okay, so again, we can do before 1950. So we have people who were inspired by that and all the different, you know, creations over the years.
Well, and Wile E. Coyote is another big reason why I became a furry.
Yeah, exactly right.
If anyone ever wants to check out my YouTube channel, I did a vlog explaining that as Zach Wolf.
Oh yeah, that's right. There's different things. Just to show you a couple other things.
Wile E. Coyote, super genius.
Exactly right.
I just love the way it rolls out.
Now, I mentioned, you know, they would go after, and see this one, I'm going to have to rely on my own audio, but I'm not going to play the whole episode, but right around the same time The Odd Couple was ending on TV, they decided to do, this is to Patty Freeman again, a version called The Oddball Couple. And this time, Paul Winchell, who did a bunch of different voices, played Fleabag, who was the slob. And then the cat there, Spiffy, was played by Frank Nelson. Yes! Right? You know him? And here's the theme song.
Special talent, romancing up the team. We're talking about the outlaw couple.
Yeah, so there's a TV series, like I say.
How long did that run?
That ran for 1 year, and it is on DVD. It got put out a couple years ago. I think it's like a 2-disc set. And there were some pop culture references in it. Like, they had a secretary named Miss Goldie Hound, and there was an actress named Goldie Hawn. So you had that. Yeah, so that was, like I say, in the mid-70s, that one came out. And there were other shows. Now, there's a couple different shows that were inspired by the Phil Silver show, the kind of trickster. And going back to Hanna-Barbera, one of them is Hokey Wolf.
Now we're talking.
And you're not going to really hear much in the way of sound. Oh, no, it's just... there it is, yeah.
Yeah, usually they have...
Ding-a-ling.
There it is. That's Doug Young. That's Ding-a-ling. Dawes Butler.
One of those names you couldn't get away with these days.
Yep. Who's afraid of the big bad wolf? It's just they kind of ripped it off a little bit. Well, to cut to the chase, they wind up in, I mean, you can kind of guess what.
Yeah.
Bean Podners, yeah. And the Pink Panther also had one where he wound up in a giant's castle.
Yeah, that was from the 1978 series.
Right.
I'm sure the premise is like public domain, so you can.
Oh, of course.
Do
well, they were doing things like on. Gulliver. You know, things like that, stories like that. Huckleberry Finn, they were doing that. So the other one was Top Cat. Now, this one I did play in Woburn. This was a commercial in England. So, and by then, Dawes Butler might have been dead by then, but...
Oh, yeah, he was. He died.
So this is, you want to talk live action and animation?
So Warner Brothers Animation emulating the Hanna-Barbera style, they do it best with commercials.
Well, yeah, something like that. That, by the way, would have been after Roger Rabbit, but did you notice, for example, the chair moved a little time? They kind of gave it a little bit of realism and everything. But both those cartoons, you had kind of a trickster character, Hokey Wolf and Top Cat, and was based on Phil Silvers' Sergeant Bilko.
Ah.
And how many series were, like, definitely ripped off? Okay, the Flintstones, that was the Honeymooners. That's obvious, you know, things like that. Certain movies, you know, when things like Star Wars came out and everything, you would have things, it would inspire cartoons and whatever the fads were and everything. And going back to those days of, you know, the 50s and 60s and 70s and everything, you would have so many great characters that came out, and they would, you know, Lippy and Hardy, maybe that's like Laurel and Hardy or anything like that. Now, let's go back to Warner Brothers for a minute. Now, this was a classic.
Attend your city council meetings. Bugs Bunny and Roadrunner show.
That's from Warner Brothers Animation.
Yep.
It's Warner Brothers 7 Art.
72, I think it said?
Yep.
And that part's from the original Bugs Bunny show.
Yeah.
Wiley.
Yep.
He
did win some
there,
Oscars, yeah. He won some short, like in the 40s. He won a short, I think.
It was the 1958 short, 99.
That's it, you're right.
I guess they don't do that kind of awards anymore, huh?
They still do Best Animated Short, but it's pretty boring and
yeah.
Uncomfortable. Now they're using Hanna-Barbera sound effects there.
Yeah.
They also did that in the Wabbit series.
Yes. When you see characters like Wile E. Coyote and the Roadrunner, it's predator and prey. Remember how these guys got their start, Tom and Jerry, right? And then you had things like, even like The Simpsons, you had Itchy and Scratchy. You know, that was the same sort of predator and prey thing. And they that was something, that was a rich vein for them to you know, go into.
Yeah, so, well, I mean, that is true, but it's also roles are reversed in
right, exactly.
Because at least Tom and Jerry is kind of the normal, but in this one, you know, the predator's always chasing the prey and he never gets him. And in Itchy and Scratchy, it's the prey who is constantly getting one up on the predator. He's constantly attacking Scratchy.
Yeah.
Just now, like how the Roadrunner outsmarts Wile E. Coyote.
Oh,
well,
yeah,
he's
exactly.
Usually done it.
There was one cartoon where
they attack me. So.
Of course, Itchy and Scratchy's way more violent than
The coyote did actually catch the Roadrunner and. I think, like, he shrank or something like that.
Yeah.
And then you see him next to Bigfoot, now, and he held up a sign, now what do I do?
Yeah, I got him. That would have been
that was that.
That was the early 80s.
Now what do I do?
Exactly. That's what it was, yeah. Now, how about this? Let's go to, this must have been the 80s or the 90s, with the Disney Channel and ABC also.
Who are the Gummy Bears?
Gummy Bears!
I'm trying to skip around a little bit. I'm giving people...
I think that was the first one.
Yeah.
Of this...
I've been watching episodes of that on Disney Plus as I work out.
I used to see this in college.
Yep.
It is a real catchy, addictive theme song.
1985.
Yeah.
This was animated in Japan by Tokyo Movie Shinsha. They were so good. Was a real game changer for Saturday morning cartoons.
It was, yeah. And then they had, there was the Disney Afternoon and things like that and everything.
And now the other studios like Hanna-Barbera, they had to step up in their quality.
Yeah, exactly.
The current DuckTales is actually referencing. I was going to bring up Swatcats if they didn't.
Yeah.
But yeah, the current DuckTales cartoon actually referenced the Gummy Bears in an episode.
Oh, yeah.
And, like, it actually is in their canon history. Apparently, the Gummy Bears took place in their old times. I'm kind of wondering how they're going to. Like, touch on it again later, possibly, because there are humans in the Gummy Bears, and there are no humans in the DuckTales.
Mr. Raccoon back there.
It's
Ringtail.
Funny because they say that the Disney Renaissance began in 1989 with The Little Mermaid, but I disagree. I think it began in 1985 when they released the Gummy Bears.
Yeah. Yeah, that sort of thing.
It all started.
Yeah, one of the voices of the Gummy Bears was Bill Scott, who also did Bullwinkle.
Yeah,
and sadly, not too long after that, he passed away.
He did a voice in another Disney show at the time, and
The Wuzzles.
The Wuzzles,
yeah, he did that.
Musso.
Yep.
His death was one reason why the Wuzzles was canceled.
Oh. Yeah. And, you know, Bullwinkle and Rocky, now there is a huge thing to talk about. I mean, they had so many great things. And recently, so the same people, like Jay Ward and everything, they revived, they had the movie with Mr. Peabody and Sherman. They brought that back.
That
now, that's the thing. In the past couple decades, there have been revivals of these. Now, looking at the Warner Brothers characters, you had Space Jam and Back in Action. And in the Bullwinkle thing, there actually was a... Robert De Niro was actually in it.
That was a fun. The Rocky
Boy.
Before that, there was a Boris and Natasha movie.
That's what I was going to say. Robert De Niro was in it, I believe, as Boris, right?
No,
who am I thinking of?
It's George Costanza.
I'm thinking of...
Yeah, that's the guy.
Okay, I thought that Robert De Niro played one role in one of those. I can't remember.
Yeah, he played the fearless leader.
Oh, that's what it was. Oh, now I remember. All right,
yeah.
So, yeah, but in recent... times they've done that, and there are plans for some movies coming out. They want to do a Pink Panther movie, as in live action, but with a panther super, you know, whatever the word is, CGI'd in.
Yeah.
Okay, of course, that movie, the character itself went back to the Pink Panther movie with, you know, Peter Sellers and everything, and they did the intro, and that became so huge you have the whole Pink Panther cartoons. Also, they want to do a Hong Kong Fooey movie.
Mm-hmm.
I've got that box set, and it's, they want to do that. And recently they had Scooby-Doo, They
There's
had a
another
whole
Scooby movie coming out this year.
Oh, yes.
Yeah. Yeah. And then, or Scoob, is Scoob going to be a TV series, I believe? Is that what it is?
No, it's a movie.
It is a movie. Okay, that's what I thought.
Yeah, it's supposed to be kicking off a Hanna-Barbera cinematic universe.
Yeah.
Gastly and Muttley and the Blue Falcon. And right. Dynamite, they're all going to be in it.
Oh, yeah, because they do reference the Blue Falcon and Dynamite in the Scoob trailer.
Yeah.
So
now, yeah, go ahead.
I just looked at the Boris and Natasha movie. Dave Thomas is Boris and Sally Kellerman is Natasha.
Yeah.
June Foray apparently has a cameo as a woman wanting Natasha's autograph.
Oh, okay.
Which I think is kind of funny.
Yeah. Now this is a Canadian show that aired on the Disney Channel in the U.S. And being a raccoon fan, I had to throw this in. I was kind of playing around a little bit. These little things you can do on your phone. So this is a little bit of Bert Raccoon here. The raccoons.
I definitely have seen art of this character, but I had never seen the show before.
This is the Park Plaza Hotel. Quiet. Peaceful, serene. That is until Anthracoon gets up in the morning. That's my own version. But luckily, he's got some good friends to help him out. That's the intro, yeah. I played around with bits of it, as you could tell.
Yeah, like a YouTube poop.
Yeah.
It seems to me that just about every major cartoon serial has some sort of anthropomorphic animal character in its cast, or if you can call it that.
Yeah. Originally, the raccoons were a series of four specials, and they featured humans at first because you had Ranger Dan and his kids and everything like that. But eventually the humans got written out, and it was like an animal society out there in the Evergreen Forest with Cyril Snare and Cedric Snare and things like that. So you had that. That is also supposedly in the works to come back somehow, TV show or movie or something like that. I've got different clips I was going to mention. But we all grew up like another character I mentioned was Snagglepuss. I'm not going to play the whole cartoon, but...
Oh, yes.
You had the whole monster in the early 60s, late 50s, the whole monster thing with the Addams Family and the Munsters, and of course the classic characters.
Yeah, they also appeared in Snoopy and Blabber cartoons.
Right.
Yeah, there was also the Gruesomes and the Flintstones.
Yep.
Yeah.
And
it seemed that just
by... Wacky Races had a family of Munster-type characters.
Yep,
exactly.
Too. Right, so anyway, I mean, like I said, I'm just showing, but yeah, there's Snagglepuss. Now, if I can get it up here on YouTube, let's see, what was it? Magilla.
Making with Magilla.
Yeah. Now, see, you had Bert Raccoon colliding with a. Here it is. I think it's in this video. Colliding with a tree, and the same thing happens here. This was sung by Little Eva, who had the original hit, "The Locomotion," that got covered by Grand Funk. And I think it was written by Carole King. So this is maybe 64, 65 or so. You had surfing and teenagers. This is called Making with the Magilla, Magilla Gorilla. Man, I got to put the volume up. Yeah, I got it. That's okay. This is loud enough,
oh,
I think.
Oh, yeah, I remember that. Yeah, it seemed that.
Again, Carole King wrote it,
Cool. Oh, yeah, I remember that.
Yeah.
I remember that when I was a kid.
So, yeah.
Pretty much the same kind of character.
I think there's a scene where he goes into swings into a tree, but... This was, the sponsor for this show was Ideal Toys, and the lyrics of the theme song were actually, "He's really ideal," so they kind of gave a plug to the company. We've got a gorilla for sale. Magilla gorilla for sale.
Oh, yeah, it seemed that cartoons were kind of like,
commercials, Scott?
He imagines just whatever you like, crazy.
Yeah, and then talk about commercialization. There was Linus Lineheart, which was a big ad for Post cereals, and they had a character on there named Sugar Bear. Okay, that's where Sugar Bear came from. Yeah, see, there you go, colliding into that. So there you go there. But another great author, I've got a few of his books, Mark Arnold. Okay, there's a book called Think Pink, all about the DePatie Freeling Studio, and I actually contributed some trivia for that. This is about the Alvin Show. Mark Arnold, he's written books about Crack Magazine, and like I say, DePatie Freeling cartoons, the Beatles. He has a book where he wrote about the Monkees. This is about the history of the Alvin Show, which is, you know, early 60s and all that kind of stuff. Of course, you have the novelty song. The original show, of course, you had, these were the characters. They later changed them. They changed the look. They made them tiny and so on. The cartoons that came later. But what happened was there was a label called Liberty Records, and they had Al Bennett, Theodore Keep, and Simon Waronker. So that's where the names came from, Alvin, Simon, and Theodore. And what Ross Bagdasarian did, of course, he sped up the cartoon voices, and they had all these hits, like the Christmas song and everything. They did an album called The Chipmunks Meet the Beatles, or was it, you know, the Sing the Beatles hits?
Sing the Beatles.
Yeah, they had a whole bunch. And later on, of course, he died very young. Ross Bagdasarian was like maybe 50 when he died in the 70s. So his son, Ross Jr., kind of started it up again. There was actually an album called Chipmunk Punk, and there was Urban Chipmunk. They had a whole bunch of these things. And this book, by the way, has a ton of like merchandise and info and things like that. I'm not doing a commercial. I'm just saying it's interesting to, you know, see what's out there. But they sold so many albums, and they're still around. They have these live-action movies today, right?
Yep.
With someone playing David Seville and all
Jason
that.
Jason Lee. Yep.
Exactly. But I personally like the original design.
Me too.
And you don't see, there's only a few episodes that are on DVDs and online, because there's problems with the song rights, even though Ross Bagdasarian sold off some of the song rights. And also, they wanted to do a half-assed job. They wanted to clean it up and make it look really good. Now, maybe it's on here somewhere, but the Chipmunks really, you know, original Chipmunks, they want to do a good job.
Say, did you hear that Alvin has a royal connection?
What's the connection?
Well, you see, like, Ross Bagdasarian.
Yep.
It was kind of a... was cast to play the part of a songwriter in the movie Rear Window. And Rear Window also stars Grace Kelly.
Yep.
Who would later become the Princess of Monaco.
Oh, I get it.
That's how Alvin had a connection.
All right. We're going to have a little bit of Christmas in February right now, if this is the original show. This should be the original.
Yes, it is.
Okay. All right. Thanks. That was a fad. The hula hoop.
Get the hula hoop. Get the hula hoop. Get the hula hoop.
He's got
it.
Yeah.
This was produced by Format Films.
That's right. Yeah.
They did some Roadrunner cartoons in the mid-60s that were pretty freaky.
Yep.
Don't think a hula hoop's fit in any of those boxes, though.
Yeah.
I got the trees just a big triangle.
Well, they fancy a little Christmas tree.
Yep.
Okay, Simon's a little mean about his his spell for something.
Well, Alvin, no.
Yeah,
Alvin's
to soften up his throat.
Yeah.
Alvin's trying to...
That was perfume, I think, or something. Right?
Oh, yeah, no, that was for his throat.
Oh, it was for his throat, yeah.
Yeah.
It doesn't look like too much perfume spray to me.
Yeah,
I guess so.
So
he missed.
Right. Ready to sing your song? I still...
Okay, Simon? Okay, Theodore? Okay, Alvin?
Alvin!
Okay.
Okay.
Doesn't
he look thrilled?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Last Christmas song to hit number one before Mariah Carey's
one.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Wow. They still play this original version on Christmas time. I hear it played in like...
Oh, yeah.
Of course, I remember I heard it played in the movie Rocky IV.
Oh, yeah.
When Rocky and his trainer were all the way out in the middle of Siberia.
Oh, the ending to this is real funny, too.
Okay.
Of course.
If you want, you can skip over to near the end.
Yeah, I'll just... Yeah. How's this?
Oh, this part's good, too. He's like... So, yeah, Alvin was the smallest in size, but Ross Sr. always thought of him as being the oldest.
Yeah.
Davis Bill's real name was Grandpa Ross
Bagdasarian.
Yep.
Oh, this part's fun too. You got a tool.
No way better to give a guy a complex than to be the oldest and yet the shortest. Yeah.
Oh. Oh, look what Alvin does here.
He's doing skip it. Oh, no.
Yeah. That always cracked me up when they broke the
one of the Yeah, one of the other artists on the Liberty Records label was a blues rock group called Canned Heat. And they did a song together called Christmas Boogie. I'm not sure if it's on here or not. But again, we're talking, you know, blues rock, 1968, Canned Heat. I don't know if this actually has video, but...
Live TV from
70
plus channels.
Yeah,
so this may be an audio daily double, but... Oh, come on. I don't want a second one.
Well, you can skip this one at least.
Yeah. Okay.
Just a... Okay, just skip ad.
Skip ad.
Yeah.
Well, it does look like it's changing picture.
Never knew they did.
It's just stills.
Oh, that's... Yeah, that actually, that's not the same song, though. It's here somewhere. It should be in the under the Chipmunks or something. Christmas Boogie, Chipmunks... But anyway.
One of the things that you reminded me of when you were saying, I'm not plugging this book, was, buy my book!
Oh, yeah.
Buy my book!
Oh, yeah.
Buy my book!
Exactly.
The critic.
Well, that Lowe's 45 Rarity.
Yep.
Yeah, they're actually selling albums down in the dealer's den.
Yeah.
I noticed. I thought that was kind of a weird thing.
Jared Scott didn't play this on his Christmas show.
Yep.
He should, but...
Oh, yeah.
Stuff would pop up on the Dr. Demento.
Oh, of course, yeah. Well, you know, here in Boston, like WBCN would play it and stuff, yeah.
Yeah.
Of course, I remember when...
Chase him away, brother!
I remember when Saturday morning was the time for cartoons.
Oh, yeah.
Well, still was up until recently.
Surrender the television, Mother. This is my time.
And of course, you know, it seems that a lot of the cartoons back then were kind of a spin-off song, but, you know.
Yeah, yeah. And by the way,
a lot of action shows.
Yeah, two of the members of Canned Heat had furry names. It was Bob the Bearite and Alan Blind Owl Wilson, okay? Now, I'm going to skip forward a little bit. This is another byproduct of Warner Brothers here.
They tried anyway. It didn't last.
Lucky Duck in his own show.
Yeah. It's like all of three episodes, I think.
We're tiny, we're toony, we're all little loony.
So it came out after the movie. Okay.
How I Spent My Summer Vacation is the one
that's in
the
several movies.
Well, the one I always remember is the one they played more than a couple times was the Summer Vacation one.
Yeah. Well, don't have
two pairs of them are.
On an 86 bikes theme park. I wish they should.
Probably because Steven Spielberg told him it's a rat.
Yeah, you know, the whole thing with Disney working with Spielberg and all that, and then you had all sorts of problems because they kind of split apart, and, you know, you didn't really see another Roger Rabbit movie, at least not a full-length movie and everything like that. Another thing, spoofing a current movie at the time, a Warner Brothers movie, Goodfellas. Do you remember the Good Feathers?
Of course.
Because basically they made them sound like Ray Liotta and Robert De Niro and Joe Pesci. You know.
I didn't know that at the time when I watched it as a kid. But
yeah, well, they were saying that. Yeah, you're younger than me, or whatever. But like someone like me says, "Oh yeah, you know, I've always wanted to be a gangster." Sometimes, you know, all that sort of thing.
As far back as I can remember, I always wanted to be a gangster.
For us to live any other way was nuts and everything like
now,
that.
The running gag of the show was Squid would always just lose it whenever. What was the one who was always smiling and cracking jokes? I can't remember his name now.
The one in the mirror.
Yeah, he was always setting them off. He's, that's it!
Oh, that, yeah.
Beating them up. It's like,
yeah,
Joe Pesci. I've seen that movie. I get that reference.
Pesci
would always lose it whenever somebody would say something that he took the wrong way.
Oh, exactly, right, yeah.
Squint would that
sort of thing. Now, this is another example of Hanna-Barbera and how they had the cheap animation, and they would take something like Gulliver and make a series on them. Of course, they had a whole series of Gulliver, but this was a short with Lippy and Hardy called Tiny Troubles.
Well, yeah, it seemed that a lot of famous stories were kind of spoofed in the cartoon.
And just to skip ahead to the end, we'll see what happened about...
People can live together in reunions.
This was a couple of years after the Seattle World's Fair with the tower and everything.
Ah, okay. Hey.
Massachusetts.
Massachusetts, you hear him, you hear the state we're in? Yeah, Massachusetts.
Right. So there we go with that. So just to, we still have a little time, but...
Yeah, going back to the Plucky Duck show,
there's
a lot of just clips and, like, reused assets from previous episodes, I recall.
Oh, yeah.
They were basically trying to make more content without having to make more content.
Right.
To save money, but, I guess the show didn't get any good ratings, and it was canceled pretty
much. The thing is, I guess it was just kind of a, Plucky Duck trying to kind of, satisfy his big ego and become the big star of the show instead of Babs and Buster.
Yeah, and these are like kind of spin-offs, like young characters based on the likes of Bugs and Daffy, Tasmanian Devil, and so on.
Like, didn't they also do a spin-off with like Elmira or something?
Yes, Elmira and Pinky and the Brain.
Oh, yeah. That Elmira was a kind of a guy based on
Elmer.
Wait, that guy... Hugo the Abominable Snowman.
That
right.
Too.
Oh boy, my very young bunny rabbit, I will hug him and call him George. Hello, George.
And I was thinking going a little later than that, if you're talking 90s, you had the whole Family Guy thing, where you did have some animal characters that were Anthro, like Brian, but then there were other characters who were not Anthro, But they had one episode where they wound up in the world where everything was run by dogs and everything, and all that kind of thing. And I wonder if maybe Brian might have been inspired by Snoopy a little bit, the white, all that sort of stuff.
Halloween
or something like that, But it's just a given that you have animals talking and everything like that, and that he can, he can marry a woman and have a human kid. Well, it's just accepted in that universe, I also find it interesting when you have a series and you'll have Anthro and non-Anthro animals, like Arthur, a little later on. You have some of his classmates are dogs, but he has a dog. He has Pal, is non-Anthro. So you see that.
The whole Goofy Pluto thing.
Yeah, the whole Goofy Pluto thing, anything like that. So just to toss out a couple things real quick, are there any shows that were so bad... or so bad they were good, you go, how could anyone want that show? Or there were just some that, like Clutch Cargo or something. Are there any out there that were just so bad they actually were good to watch? Or?
I grew up in the 80s.
Yep.
All of them. I can name two if you really want to be insulted.
Yep.
Get Along Gang was one.
Oh, yeah.
And the other was this obscure cartoon, I think it ran like 18 episodes, called the Pawpaw Bears.
Oh, the Pawpaws, that was Hanna-Barbera, I think.
YouTube that up if you like, it's a hoop.
Oh, yeah. Well, the Biscuits, I think, was a similar thing where they were little, that sort of thing and everything.
Yeah.
I know the ultimate 80s cartoon that was so controversial, eventually it was canceled before it ever made it on the air. Anybody remembers the Cabbage Patch Kids?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
They actually made a cartoon called The Garbage Pail.
Yes.
Oh, yeah, exactly, right.
It was so bad that the movie never aired.
Yeah.
By the way,
they're doing a live action.
There was a controversial episode of, I don't know if it was Tiny Toons, where they got drunk or whatever.
One beer,
that's right. That was kind of controversial at the time.
Didn't they have to show that they were like required by...
Yeah.
The network was requiring them to create a very special episode.
Yeah.
This is what they did, and they deliberately made it so horrible that it was never shown again.
And how about Cartoon All-Stars to the Rescue?
Yes. Yes.
I think even like Alf was in that. Yes. And Mr. T, or there were certain things.
Muppet Babies.
Yeah.
Garfield, the Muppet Babies.
And Michelangelo.
Yep. They put that all in there, and I think they might have even had, was it Nancy Reagan, or was it Barbara Bush or something was introducing
Barbara
it?
Bush, yeah.
Barbara Bush, yeah. So they had that on there.
Yeah, and the message to try and say no to drugs.
Right, and again, this
but
is...
But if you try and do drugs, you'll see your favorite cartoon character.
And again, this is not furry, but when I mentioned Clutch Cargo, it was like the thing with just the mouth move, they superimposed it on there.
Yes.
So that was pretty bad. When I did the convention in Woburn, I was showing Mighty Mr. Titan and Super President, and again, it's not furry, so I'm not going to show it.
Banana Man was another weird one. I actually saw a YouTube video talking about Banana Man the other day.
Banana Man, I don't quite remember that one.
As a superhero, he gains powers when he eats a banana.
Oh, yeah.
Apparently, it's so popular in other countries, and they were going to make a movie, but
oh,
it
okay. And so there are no furries in it, but just to veer off a little bit, and remember the superhero, the Mighty Heroes, Ralph Bakshi.
Bakshi created
that. Yeah, I mean, that alone... I like the theme song and everything, and so again we're gonna veer off. This is not furry, but let's see if I like the theme song.
Catchy theme. Oh, remember this is played right in the middle of the Mighty Mouse cartoon.
Yep.
Channel 56.
So it counts a little bit. Da da da.
Hey, this is furry.
Well, he's a cuckoo. Okay, we'll call it furry.
Rope man.
Diaper Man. Someone asked me about that. I said, oh, sure, it was the Mighty Heroes.
There's a little bit of a...
Yeah, Ralph Bakshi created that cartoon before Fritz the Cat.
Yes.
Back when he was at Terry Toons.
Terry Toons.
Yes, about 66 or 67.
It was Mighty Mouse with Terry Toons. That's when they came in the same syndication pack.
Yeah, and did you notice the guitar is like... Ding, 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 ding. You almost feel yourself like Batman. Yeah. But yeah. It was after
so
Batman.
He just
but
wants to be a furry.
Yeah.
He's a bird.
It's a very catchy theme song.
Yeah, but again, if you want totally, I mean, Mighty Mouse, there's a great example of furry and things like that. Singing opera, here I come to save the day.
Ralph Bakshi did a fun Mighty Mouse reboot in the late 80s.
Oh, yeah.
Yep. Yeah, there are so many reboots and everything like that, you know? So that was one of the questions I was going to toss out. Now, some of the movies that are coming out now to the theaters, are there any shows from the past that you would say, you know what, I would love to see them do a big screen adaptation, and they never did it before? Go ahead.
SWAT Cats.
SWAT Cats?
We need SWAT Cats to come back.
Okay, yeah.
Because that show has ended way too soon.
Do you remember shows like Mighty, the Moo Mesa? Remember that one?
The Cowboys of Moo Mesa.
The Cowboys of Moo Mesa. The Wild West Cowboys of Moo Mesa,
and
yeah.
And COW was an acronym.
Yeah, the Code of the West. You remember that one?
Oh, yeah, I remember that one.
And so this would be early 90s?
Yeah. When Hanna-Barbera really changed.
Yeah.
More action.
Yeah, this is one of the shows that got the axe due to it being too violent. Ted Turner is like, oh, we can't have this on anymore.
No, I have to watch
it. Give kids ideas. Yeah, it only lasted like 2 seasons. And really was such a good show.
Yeah. I was thinking, you know, he was an alien, but I guess Alf would qualify. There was Alf Tales and all that. If you remember that, Alf was on from about 86 to 90 on NBC, and they did do the cartoon.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, 86, 87 or something like that.
I didn't put together until later. Razor's actually voiced by the same guy as Donatello from the original Ninja Turtles cartoon.
Oh, yeah.
I love Donatello and I love Razor. It's like, I wonder why. It was voiced by the same guy.
We've had people like Rob Paulson, who does so many different voices, like Animaniacs and everything. We had him as guest of honor at Anthrocon, and it was great when he was doing all those different songs. So again, with the whole Renaissance after Roger Rabbit.
I got to meet Rob Paulson a couple years ago.
You got to meet him, yeah.
Yeah.
This is Animaniacs is coming back pretty soon, too.
It is?
Yes.
Yeah.
With new episodes.
And Steven Spielberg's second successful show after Animaniacs.
I'm trying to think if one of them is a spoof of Ringo's voice or John Lennon's voice. It's got the sort of John Lennon. The Ringo voice is like that.
Timber Puppers is a big Wacko fan. He dresses
up as that Wacko's voice actor too, just Harnell. Yeah, this was by Tokyo Movie Shinsha as well.
Oh, they did this in Japan?
Yeah.
I would imagine they used several different houses for some of these TV series. They'll come out of the same studio.
I'm going to do a slightly obscure one. And
Cat Nuka Cats.
Cat Nuka Cats was, let's see, do I have
Cat
my...
Cats. Oh,
Oh, yeah, I remember that.
There's so many. I had to find the one that loops over and over, like last time.
Well, I did one that kind of mixed it up, but I'll at least play the theme song. Now, this was on like around 69 or so for a year or two, and what they had as part of it was Around the World in 79 Days, Motor Mouse and Autocat, and It's the Wolf! The Wolf!
Yep. Paul Lynn voiced the whole thing.
Yep.
It's the voice of Mildred Wolf.
Yep.
And Mildred Wolf will later appear as a co-host of Laugh Olympics.
Yeah, they later had John Stevenson do Mildred Wolf.
Yeah.
So this is like the whole, like, well, furry rock band here.
Yep.
One of the cats was voiced by Casey Kasem.
Yeah.
Yeah, 69 was when Keeson joined Hanna-Barbera.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, he did the show.
And then, of course, yeah, Josie the Pussycat, Scooby-Doo, and all that.
Yes, those music videos were really psychedelic.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. And then there was, of course, that, you know, every time, like, you know, they caught the monster, like, they were, you pull off his hand and pull Kruby Road Mask and some ordinary mortal.
Oh, yeah.
They'll play it.
Man on ABC.
You meddling kids or something.
Oh,
now,
yeah,
this
yeah,
one
yeah,
is.
Yeah, of course.
This one
I
is.
I would have gotten away with two. You meddling kids.
Yeah. This one is not furry, but basically the same people that gave the. Come on. Cartoons. Like the theme. I'm trying to get it. Basically, it's the same people that did the song. And one of the characters, Dexter, was voiced by Casey Kasem. But again, listen to it. This is basically the Chattanooga Cats doing this.
Yeah.
Same singer, same writers, Mike Kerb, Michael Lloyd.
Except the animation is not by Hanna-Barbera.
Yeah, this is a different studio. I can't remember the name.
Filmation Productions?
No, it had a weird name. But again, this is basically the Chattanooga Cats singing the theme song for
yeah.
our purposes, you know.
Yeah, studio singers.
It's on the same network in the same year, too.
Yeah, ABC and all that. So I'm just going to mention that. So if anyone has other further questions, I don't know if someone's... we could probably stay past noon if no one else is coming in. There might be someone. But again, there's so much stuff out there now, and someone like me... You know, back in the old days, you could only get them at a certain time. But now, you got YouTube, you got DVDs, you've got, what is it, Boomerangs, like a subscription service,
yes,
you can do that.
Service.
For some reason, I have Xfinity in Beverly, and they never offered Boomerang as a
right.
channel,
yeah,
although they had certain things on demand. But now it's something like, what, five bucks, whatever it is, you pay per month, and you can do that and stuff like that.
Not anymore.
Well,
right.
Well, the thing is that Cartoon Network was a free network.
Yeah.
And used to show all these old radio cartoons.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden, like, it has all those, you know, like, you know, stuff that's made for it, and it's now a subscription
yeah.
service.
One final thing. If you ever get some of these box set type things, there's a lot of great extras on it. People like this guy, Jerry Beck and Mark Arnold, they talk about, like, one of the... Oh, I got to show The Dogfather, if I can, real quick.
Oh,
The Dogfather...
It's a pretty Freeling
yeah.
production.
This is another to Patty Freeling, and I recently got the... I got the box set, and there's some interesting things.
There's a lot of spoofs of The Dogfather.
Well, just maybe just do the theme,
yeah.
but...
Yeah.
Obviously, this was after The Godfather came out.
So you probably can't get away
with
standing
with
you today.
Now. Yeah. Yeah, this is just a theme song. You don't really see.
Dean Elliott.
Yeah.
Dawes Butler and Frank.
Dawes Butler did some voices and everything. Yeah, I can't really. How do I do that? Escape. I was trying to get. Yeah, there was like a short or something on here, but.
Wow.
Dogfather, Mother Dog. So, again, yeah, this is going to be a spoof. Crazy Legs Crane is in this one.
Yeah, he got his own series of shorts in 1978.
And I think it was with the Firefly character that he had.
Yeah.
This is the end.
Yeah, so they had a bit of a spinoff with Crazy Legs Crane. So this is a spoof. Like, obviously, he's doing like Marlon Brando and everything. And anyone who's ever seen the original Godfather movie, the whole first scene, where they're at the wedding and everything, you know that came in Zootopia where they had the whole thing about, you know, I can grant a favor. I think we do have another panel coming up. Well, yes, I want to thank you, and I am planning on doing this again. As I said, I'm going to be doing it in August, hopefully, at Saturday Morning Cartoons. I'd like to do it again for Park. I'd like to do it again here.
I still have the pin I got at Saturday Morning Cartoons on my thing.
Here we go.
You've got your badge there, too.
Yep, sure did. So, all right. There is a Classic Cartoons group on Facebook. It's close to 2,000 members. That would be me. Oh, yeah. Okay. So check it out. I think you'll enjoy it.
And
I think, no problem. We're going to disconnect here because I think we've got another panel coming in. Thanks again.
All right.
Thanks.